What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Sam Morrow. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, dude. How are you?
Good, man. Good. I've been looking forward to this one. I've did a big deep dive into your stuff the past couple days, and I love it. But we'll get into that. But before we do, just to get kind of a gauge on what you've been up to lately, man. What have you been busy with? Like whether it be shows, writing, recording, anything like that.
Yeah. Well, I recorded a record the last 6 months of last year, and kind of wrapped it all up, I guess. And I don't even know what month it is. It's March now. I guess in January or February, we kind of wrapped it all up, and I kind of just started touring again for this year. That beginning December and January is always slow for touring and stuff, but we've just been touring. We just did a couple of weeks with this band, Robert John and the Wreck.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know them, they're amazing. And we're going to the UK in a few weeks, I guess, for the 12th, like April 12th or something like that. So yeah, just staying busy, man. You know.
Have you been to the UK before?
Yeah, but it's been like since 2019.
Okay.
Since like before COVID, so. It's like almost like I haven't been over there, you know.
completely different world.
Especially that's like, well, not even just that, but like that's like how all the promoters feel and shit, you know. Like I'm just I'm a newcomer, you know, which is fine, man. Get back over there, and I don't know, it can be like a good market going to Europe and stuff. They like rock music, blues stuff, country stuff. They like to, they're just like Americans playing music, I think, a lot of times, you know.
Hell yeah, dude. So let's dive into a bit. What I really like to talk about is your sound and how you developed it, man, because it's what you sound like is right up my alley. The style, man, like the bluesy, like emphasis on the funkiness. I love the funkiness in a lot of your stuff, and I'm a big rock and roll guy. So like all that mixed together, the boogie woogie of it has always been like my cup of tea. So I was very pleased to discover you, man. So I guess it's kind of a bland question, but if you could kind of describe like how has that always been, like not necessarily what your influences are, that's fine too, but how did you like develop your sound? Like, was it always like that kind of thing?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know. I've listened to like everything throughout my whole life. Like when I was like younger, I listened to, you know, classic rock, and I grew up in Texas. So like country and classic rock and blues stuff. And then like I went through like a phase where I like wanted to be a DJ, and like I was into electronic music and stuff. Like, oh, well, before that, I went through like a hardcore, like screamo emo kind of phase. I was like fronting like I was like 15 at the time or something like that, like a hardcore band that just like played around town and stuff. I don't know, I got sober when I was 20 years old, and I like just like had a lot of feelings, you know. Mm-hmm. So I like my first couple records are like kind of like sad bastard folky stuff, and then I was like, this isn't really like me, you know. And I've always been like, I'm all about the groove and like the funkiness, and like I feel like that's how I feel music, you know, is the groove, you know. And so I started like incorporate that more into my music, and started, you know, rediscovering bands like Little Feat you know, even Skinnerd or ZZ Top. Like could go on and on, really, but I lived in LA at the time, so Little Feat was kind of like, I don't know, it was kind of like in the water a little bit, you know, like that sort of like Laurel Canyon or Topanga Canyon sound. I was like sort of reintroduced to it and just got like super obsessed with it, you know. And on top of that, like I've always kind of been a rock guy, but back like 10 years ago, rock music felt kind of like no one wanted to listen to it, you know? Or it wasn't like
Cool.
popular, you
Yeah.
know, or cool. Yeah. I always like to me it was always cool,
Yeah.
but like people were like, "Nah, dude, you gotta make a country record." And I was like, all right, you know. So I kind of made like a couple like funky country kind of records, and then like people started labeling me as like outlaw, and I really did not like that. And so like I like purposely like pushed that away and like started making music that like wasn't that, which is probably like career-wise probably stupid, but I make music for me, you
Yeah.
know. So I can't I'm really bad at like faking it, you know, like if I'm not into it I can't, you know, fake it. So I make it for me. And yeah, and this I put out a single. Sorry if
No, go
I'm
ahead. You're
answering your
good.
question like in a super long
You're
way,
good.
but anyways, all this has led me back to like where I am right now, and I'm like playing rock music again. And I feel like rock and roll is like coming back. Like the country thing has to like fucking die down at some point, right, man? I mean, like, you know, and nothing, I love country shit, and I have like so many friends that are like in that space, and I love them, and they're awesome. The music's awesome, but that's just not me, man. Like, I want to make rock and roll. Like, rock and roll is cool. Rock and roll is what is like in my bones, you know? And that's where I feel like I did with this record that I recorded late last year and just put out a single. So hopefully, I think that answers your question. I don't know. I kind of
Yeah.
just started talking.
No, that's perfect, man. 'Cause that brings up a couple things. Is that like with the thing about like certain genres being popular and then, I guess dying out, you could say, coming back, whatever. It becomes so, I think, oversaturated. Not saying it's like bad stuff. Like it's good songs. Sometimes it's bad songs, but it could be good songs, but just so much of it, you get tired of it. And like I'm a rock guy, so I'm with you on that. And another thing is that with nowadays the genre lines are so blurred, I think. Like it's like the an example, like Johnny Blue Skies, like AKA Sturgill, he just put out that one record and he's like a country guy, but he's not just a country guy. Every album he's put out is different. And actually, like this last record he put out, it has like a lot of that funky stuff. It kind of reminds me a
Yeah,
lot
it's
of
like
your stuff,
kind of
man.
jammy, like funky. I only got to listen to it like two times before he took it down, but
I just got the CD in the mail like t yesterday.
I need to order the vinyl, man. My manager like ordered it and got it like the day it came out, and he's been listening to it and shit. But yeah, I've like always respect. Sturgill's one of my favorite artists just because he just does whatever the fuck he wants to do, you know? He's made rock records. He's made like, this one's kind of like rock, funky jam. Like he's made country records, and he's able to just be like, he makes music for himself, you know? Which I think, and I don't mean that to sound it's not a selfish thing. It's like you know, it's more of like a genuine, how to be genuine, or how to come off as genuine, I guess is the word. I don't know what other word I was looking for there. Yeah, I mean he's great, man. His records are awesome, you know.
And kind of going off what you said, like when you do write for yourself, which like all artists should do, obviously, when you're like in the studio or writing or during your creative process, does the thought of like I want this to blow up, I guess. I don't know if that's the right term, but like I want this to really succeed. Does that ever get in the way of like just staying true to yourself, versus like I want to appeal to this audience? Is that something that is out of your mind completely? Like how did you ever deal with that?
No, I don't think it's like out of my mind completely. But I don't think it like I don't let it influence me too much, you know? Like, I could, there's a lot of times where I could go, like, so far one way, and I'm like, well, let's maybe, like, taper it back a little bit and, like, make it make sense to, you know, the listener. You know, you always have to keep, like, the listener in mind, too, but for me, I just can't let it like really get in the way of like what I want to do, you know, because I think that like, I think people can hear that like subconsciously or not, like, you know, when you hear a song on the radio and they're just bullshitting you, you know, I feel like people know that, you know, so yeah, you always can keep the listener in mind, but still stay true to like what you're trying to do and who you are, you know?
Yeah. And is that mindset of really staying true to your, like I said, like I'm every artist I'm sure wants to do that, but and you know, like they could be influenced to do it another way by whoever, like I don't, that's how the music industry works, I reckon. But I wanted to kind of bring in like you're based out of Nashville, right?
Yeah, I'm in Nashville now. Yeah,
so and I'm not saying Nashville is one of these fake places, that's not what I'm getting at, but like I'm kind of curious as how you would how is that community and that scene there? Because you're obviously a rock guy. Nashville is known for a lot of outsiders as a country music place. But how would you describe that community and that culture in Nashville when it comes to like your music, maybe more of the rock side or that kind of thing?
I think it's great, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nashville isn't just a country city. You know? I mean, yes, like the mainstream like pop stuff, this is like the hub for that, but like the more like I don't know if underground is the right word, but just the more like subsects of Nashville are, there's everything here, you know, there's indie rock and roll, blues stuff, and it, you know, what I like about Nashville is like I lived in LA for a long time, and like 12 years, and the difference between LA and Nashville is like it's within the songwriting community is people in Nashville will just like get together to write a song just to write a song, you know, they're like fuck it, let's just write something, like who cares if it's on your record or my record or no one ever hears it, but it's fun to write songs, let's just write songs. And for me, the culture in Los Angeles was more of like, oh, what's it for? You know, what project is this for? Or, you know, can you sign this contract before, we write and stuff like that so that we get the splits right and stuff like that. And that's not in like every case, you know, like there's, I'm not like talking a bunch of shit on LA. I wrote a lot of cool songs with cool people out there. But I think like as a whole, the culture in Nashville is different, and there's still like anywhere, like there's cattiness and people talking shit and whatever, but you just stay out of that and kind of find your crew. And I mean, there's so many cool like musicians that live here in the, you know, country scene or whatever, you know. It's just a good place, like for someone like me that like plays like 100 shows a year, it's like the best place you can live to tour, you know. It's so central and easy to get everywhere, and that's just a lot of like benefits to living here for a touring musician, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And as someone who has zero experience with LA, it just seems like very like intimidating, like in all aspects. I mean, just like it's, I mean, it seems hectic to live there just because it's LA, you know, it's huge. It's hectic. LA. But like that's another place. So, I mean, like when it comes to the different scenes there and the different musical landscapes, I feel like that has to be pretty diverse out there too, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, they have everything. You just have to kind of like find your spot, you know. I mean, there's a big country scene out there, and there's of course like a big rock, there's everything out there, man. I mean, LA is such a like epicenter for entertainment and music and all that stuff, so I learned a shit ton of just about making music and making records and writing music from just living in LA. And I feel like I was able to kind of like bring it with me, and I kind of got what I like wanted to get out of it. And now I'm like, all right, now I'm gonna move over here. And I'm liking it. I've only been here for like 3 years in Nashville, but I like it, man. It's a good place to live.
That's awesome. And you were mentioning like having your crew and writing songs and stuff. So I guess do you co-write a lot?
A fair amount for sure. I did like a couple songs on this record with Ben Chapman, who's like a great, like I feel like everyone writes with Ben. He's like all over the place, but he's like rightfully so. Ben's awesome, man. And then I wrote a bunch with my buddy Damon Atkins, who's a guitar player out here, and he's just been like one of my really good friends for a long time. This guy Reed Houghton, I wrote some with. And then I think that's it, maybe. I know I'm missing somebody, but yeah, I just like to write with whoever. Like I've written with a bunch of people that maybe didn't end up on the record or whatever, but like songwriting is kind of like a muscle, you know? You just gotta use it and grow it and strengthen it, and so you just gotta keep writing, you know? For a long time, I didn't really like co-writing, but well, no, I don't want to say I didn't like it. I was like kind of scared to do it, you know? Because writing was always like, it felt like personal, you know? And like, no, I'm gonna, write this sitting in my room with a candle lit or some shit like that, you know? And now I'm like very, very different than that, you know? I like to write with people, and I also just never really write anything very serious, you know? I'm just very like, I'm not a serious person, you know. I'm like always joking about shit, so why would I write songs that are serious, you know? All my songs are just like making fun of me and other shit, you know, in like roundabout ways, but really just making fun of my flaws. That's basically what my songs are about, you know.
Hey, you're being genuine, right? Just like you said. Right on, man. But and like kind of keep going on like your writing and your creative process and everything. One of my favorites to ask is how do you know when a song is finished? Like, do you have a bell that goes off in your head, like, all right, boom, that's perfect. Like, is it easy to overthink when you're recording or writing? Is it sometimes you don't think you do enough with it? Like, what is there a certain point in time where you're like, okay, this is good to go?
I'm pretty good about just being like, this is done, you know? Like I'm very like I'm not like a disciplined writer. Like I feel like when I think of like a disciplined writer, I think of like Jason Isbell. Like he is like seems I've never written with him, but to me he seems like very disciplined. Like he goes in and like changes individual words and makes everything like he's writing a novel. And me, I'm more of like, no, I wrote this song like in this moment, and I want it to just like represent that, you know. And I'll change like a few things here and there. Usually that happens like in the recording process, you know. Like I'll be like, I don't really like that verse, or I don't like that line, you know, let's change it. And I mean, there's even like a couple songs on this record. There's always like at least a couple songs on my record where I like to write like two grooves or riffs, you know. So like I'll write a riff and then I'll write completely around that. Or like my buddy who's like a drummer will send me like a beat and I'll write like around that beat, you know. Because again, that's like one of the most important things to me is the groove or how the song feels, you know. So there's like couple songs on this record, and like I said, like at least one or two on like every other record, where I go into the studio and I don't even have lyrics, you know, and we'll just record, you know, the whole song instrumentally, and I'll kind of have like a melody that I'll sing, and then I'll write lyrics later. So I don't know. I'm very like, I get asked like, what's my process, or, you know, like you said, how do you know when a song's done? And I'm very like undisciplined and like kind of spontaneous. So I don't really have like a great answer for that, you know?
No, yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And that, what you just said, kind of like when I listen to a song, I've always been this way and I can't even pretend anymore. Like the melody and the groove and everything else is always what like grabs me before the lyrics ever do.
That's how I am too.
Okay. Yeah. I was kind of asking if that's kind of how you've been, because like people ask me, well, what does this song mean to you? It's just like, man, I just like bobbing my head to it, to be quite frank. Like you know what
I
mean?
Yeah. No, yeah. That's exactly how I am, man. And I know there's a lot of people that are the opposite of that, where they get like pulled in by the lyrics, but I don't know. That's just not really me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like your hoodie, Red Clay Strays, like they have amazing, they have amazing lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's like, I get pulled in by his voice and the band.
Yes.
And like they're like John, he's like such a good drummer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's, and Sturgill, same way. Like I get pulled in by like the guitar playing, the riffs, the groove, you know, the iteration of his band right now is like the ultimate fucking band.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the best musicians, and they all just kind of like they're one right now, you know,
because
they've been playing for 2 years or whatever straight. But yeah, that's how I am. We're the same.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, man. Simple creatures, you know, just give me something nice to listen to. But
yeah, exactly. Don't work too hard on it.
Right. Yeah. But so, and like listening back to your stuff, and like I said, did another deep dive with all your songs. And I assume you like to experiment a lot in the studio. And is that come pretty natural to you? Do you go in and just like let it fly? Or is it something like, okay, I want to achieve this, maybe a mixture of both? Like how does that go?
Yeah, I think kind of a mixture of both. Like I always like make things, cause I've gotten more technical over the years, cause I've made like 5 or 6 records now, just so I kind of like know the more technical terms and stuff like that. But like, I'm just very like describing things and like, hey, I want this guitar to sound like it's trapped in a box and it's trying to get out. You know, mm-hmm. I'm very like into describing things like that. And I've always been blessed to work with people that like can get that and know how to do it, you know, like in a technical sense. And then there's also like, oh man, I really love Billy Gibbons' tone in this song or whatever. Or I like how the drums sound in this Skynyrd song or whatever it is. And so we'll kind of chase that, you know? Yeah, it's all fun, man. I mean, making records is like, it's like probably the most fun part to me of all this stuff, you know? I like a lot of other stuff about it, but yeah, I mean, like being in the studio, like surrounded by like a bunch of guys that are like probably better musicians than I am, and just like letting them like kind of put their 2 cents into the song, and then like, you know, kind of editing it from there and chasing stuff together is fun, man.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah, that's my favorite part about like following an artist is like they, I guess you could call it progress to another thing, but it doesn't have to be progression. Like it could just be like, you know, pivoting to something else and trying this and that. And But the key is that you could still tell, like, oh, this is a Sam Morris song. Like, this is like person. This is that person. And I think that's like kind of who separates who has the juice and who like doesn't quite have the juice, to be honest.
I agree. That's a good point.
But I want to talk about a couple songs, man. So first, I just got to say the Addicted to Love cover, dude. I probably played that about 15 times in the last 3 hours. Like, I am a giant, like, not a Robert Palmer specifically, but like that era. I love those like pop rock songs, whatever you want to call it. And I guess quite simply, man, like how, what, why'd you choose that one? Is there a certain reason? I know it's it was released a while back by now, but I just had to ask.
Have you heard the Robert Palmer first record? It's called Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley.
I think
If you haven't, like, if you say I think so, then go listen to it again.
Yeah, I will revisit it after this.
It's that badass. Like, even if you have heard it, listen to it after this, because it is. So the Meters are the backing band. It's his first record, so it was like, I don't know, mid-70s, I think.
Okay.
The Meters are his backing band, and Lil George also like plays guitar on it and stuff, which I actually thought that for a long time I had heard that Lowell produced it. Okay. But this last year we played a festival with George Porter Jr., who's the bass player for the Meters. And I was like, dude, I gotta ask you, man. Like, I'm obsessed with this record. And like, can you just tell me about it? Like, and he basically was like, nah, Lowell didn't do shit. Like, he was just happened to be like recording, you know, in the nearby or something, and he did play guitar on some of it, but like he was like, no, us, the Meters, we produced it. And I was like, cool, that's awesome. And he also told me that Lowell actually played guitar on Just Kiss My Baby, which is like the Meters, one of the biggest Meters songs. So that, I don't know, that's kind of a cool like nerdy music history thing.
But
what was I saying? So that record is an amazing record, and it's kind of like, it's very 70s and like how it sounds and everything. And Robert Palmer just kind of is like, all of that, his popular music is like a product of the 80s, like big like cheesy drums and like cheesy synths and stuff. Like 80s is not my favorite era for, you know, music in general, but but like, that's not to say that the songs aren't great. So I wanted to take, like, obviously Addicted to Love is an amazing song, and I wanted to take it and just kind of be like, okay, if this was recorded in the 70s rather than the 80s, what would it sound like, you know? So yeah, that's kind of where it came from. And
nice.
If you haven't heard that record, if you're listening to this, go check it out, because it's like an essential listening.
Yeah. I will definitely listen to that. You never think of Robert Palmer as like essential listening, to be honest. But
no,
I mean
that's because like you think of like all his, you know,
doctor,
cheese dick stuff, you know? Yeah, exactly, right. Man. Like, it's, and all that 80s stuff, but it's all like cool. Like, all those songs are cool. It's just the production is kind of lame, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of the same with, like, Huey Lewis and the News. And like, their first album is fantastic. I mean, I love their cheese dick stuff, too, for sure. But,
I love that stuff, too, man. I like yacht rocky kind of stuff.
Oh,
you know?
And, don't get me started. Like,
yeah, I mean, all that stuff is great, man. But, I mean, my, like, favorite era of music is like 60s and 70s, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's always what I'll like sort of gravitate towards, like tonally and sound wise, you know.
Yeah, awesome, man. That's awesome. And then the other one I wanted to ask about was obviously your last single that came out, Cruising, which came out I think just the beginning of this month, wasn't it? Like, just came out.
Yeah, it was like two and a half weeks ago, something like that. Maybe three. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, like, it just basically, like, any themes or story behind that? Like, is there anything you could tell us about that song?
I don't know. I mean, I wrote that with my buddy Damon Atkins and Reed Houghton, and yeah, they like I kind of like in a way like hijacked the like Damon came with this riff. Damon's like a crazy guitar player. He came with the riff, and I was like, yes, we're using that. And I could tell that like they didn't really like love the direction I was going with it at first, but I was like, trust me, dude, this is gonna be cool. And yeah, I just kind of like took it from there. And yeah, I mean, it's just like about just kind of if someone, if you're just, it's like a song about like independence, and you're just cruising along, it's just I mean, in this particular case, it's like about a girl, I guess. But I don't know, we just wanted it to feel like kind of sexy. And like the second verse is like kind of a bunch of innuendos and stuff. And I don't know, I want people to like I like the best parts of music to me is stuff that like makes me laugh, like if I hear a guitar solo in the studio and like I start laughing, I'm like, yeah, that's the take. You know how it is, like when you hear like something that's just so badass and you're like,
How the fuck did they do
yeah, how did they do that? And you're like
that?
laughing, and you're laughing with your friends about it and stuff. Like that's how I connect with music, so yeah, I just want it to feel like kind of sexy and chilling and cruising, Yeah, I guess that's kind of the story.
For sure, man. That's awesome. And I guess you've been hinting at it like earlier in the interview, but like, can you tell us about what you have to come? I know you said you were recording. So like, can you tell us about what to expect maybe with some new music?
Yeah, record's done, so it's coming out June, I think June 12th is when it's supposed to come out, and we'll put out like another single before that, I don't know, in like May or something like that. And yeah, we just did like a video yesterday for Cruisin', that'll come out at some point, hopefully like in the next few weeks. But yeah, I'm really excited, man. This is like definitely, it's definitely just like a rock record,
Hell yeah.
like definitely more so than like any of my records before. And it's just, we just wanted it to sound like a band in a room, and I think we accomplished that. I did it with Jonathan Tyler.
Oh yeah.
Jonathan Tyler in the Northern Lights, like he produced it, and we did it in Austin. And Jonathan's like, he's like the king of cool, man. He's
Yeah.
like, he
I
like
hear a lot of people
knows.
sing his praises like a
Yeah,
lot.
he's, I love him. And he's like, he just knows like what's cool, you know? And that's, and he's, when I called him, so I'd been a fan of him for a while, a long time, and we had like kind of met like at different festivals and stuff like that we were both playing or whatever, and like kind of knew of each other. And I called him to like talk to him about possibly producing the record, and like before I even said anything, he basically like said exactly what I wanted the record to sound like, which is like kind of greasy Texas rock and roll, so yeah, it was like the perfect match, and it's like all mostly analog, and it was just an awesome fucking experience, man. I'm really excited for people to hear it, yeah, I'm stoked.
That's awesome. I can't wait, man. I can't wait to hear
Yeah,
it. I've been.
I'll send you it.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Thank you. But Sam, dude, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for hopping on. Like I said, I've been waiting to do this one for a while. And
Yeah, man.
before we get out of here though, just so people know where to find you, any socials, website, anywhere people could find you.
If you just go to sammorrowmusic.com, Instagram is mamsorrow, I'm trying to do the TikTok thing, but it's hard.
It's a bitch.
Yeah, it's a bitch. Instagram's like hard enough, dude.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, you know, yeah, I'm all over the internet. If you're somewhere, you'll be able to find me, you know. TikTok,
Oh,
Instagram, Facebook. That sounded kind of lame to
yeah.
say I'm all over the internet, but you know what I
Hey,
mean.
that's today's world, man. That's today's world. But you guys definitely make sure to do that. Music is fantastic. You won't regret it. Also, make sure to check out Ray's Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us. You'll find us. We're on everything. And also make sure to check out Robert Palmer.
Check that record out, seriously. Yeah.
For sure. I
And
know
thanks for
I
having
am.
me, dude. I've been a Ray's Rowdy, you know, fan. I've been following y'all for a long time, so I appreciate you having me on.
Well, I appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot. And you guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? 'Cause baby, I'm